Greetings to all of you fine supporting listeners. Thank you so much for your support of Godarchy, and welcome to the very first piece of bonus content just for you. It is the lightning round with Doc Dixon, which we changed the name to the mudslide round, because as you'll find out, this is the slowest lightning round ever in history. Not very lightning-y at all. So we decided we're going to call it the mudslide round, and it's going to forever be the mudslide round. The plan is to do this with all of my guests, if they are willing, as part of the bonus content that you get for being so kind as to support the show. So I hope you enjoy this little mudslide round with our friend Doc Dixon. All right, you ready for the lightning round?
Okay, I got my answers here.
All right, so we're here with Doc Dixon. Doc's going to do the lightning round for you fine supporting listeners. He's already got all his answers, and he's not read any of the questions. So what's the answer to the first question?
This is like Jeopardy.
Yeah, right?
I mean, I'm now, part of this is because I'm a very caffeinated person, but I'm literally like on the edge of my seat here. Just the whole term lightning round. It's intimidating. Go ahead.
Well, and you know, it could be like the Scott Horton lightning round, in which case every answer is an hour and 45 minutes.
Yeah, it's Scott Horton deluge round, thunderstorm round.
Right, exactly.
Oh, Scott kills me because he is just a very affable, friendly guy. You know, he'd be like, if you have your neighbor, he'd be like, hey, I got this car problem. You know, what's going on? And then you talk to him, whoa, you know, just like this knowledge firing out. Oh,
great. So guy. I don't know if I've told this on, since we're in semi-private, Only special people get to hear this. I'll tell you my Scott Horton story. Because Scott Horton was actually one of the very first people I met in the Liberty Movement.
Oh, cool.
And so I started with the 10th Amendment Center. This was probably 2010-ish. So hi to the Tea Party. I'm a Tea Party guy, right? I'm still pretty neocon, but I'm working with the TAC. I'm starting to get it, you know? I'm maybe 6-8 months in. We're doing these series of live events called Nullify Now, where we had people, we did a whole day event. We came in and talked about the Constitution nullification. Usually Tom Woods was our keynote. Pretty cool. Would have been a great event to have a magician, actually. but be that as it may. So we were in Austin, Texas. Michael Bolton says, hey, we're going to go to an anti-war rally. So I'm on edge already because I'm like, ooh, I'm not really into that. I've got
smells
my camera.
Like hippies.
Exactly. Hippies. Exactly. So I've got my camera. I figure I'll just take pictures so nobody will know I'm actually with them, right? So before we go, he's like, we're going to pick up this guy, Scott Horton, friend of ours. All right, cool. So we go, we pick up Scott at his house. Scott's in the back seat. I'm in the back seat next to him. Bolden's in the front. I don't even remember who's driving. We're not 5 minutes into the drive, and Scott starts talking about something going on in Iraq, right? And he's winding up, just like if you've ever watched him speak, he's winding up, and he's going, and he's going. And I'm sitting here going, oh, my God, what is wrong with this guy? He gets to full crescendo and then just goes, F the state! Except he didn't say F. And I'm thinking, what in the hell have I gotten myself into? So, yeah, that was my first exposure to Horton. Isn't that great?
You're like, you're checking the door locks. Can I get out of here?
Right, exactly.
And, you know, he had the safety thing on so he couldn't open the door. No way, right. My job locks.
And I'm almost certain. Because I know Bolden had to know what he was getting in me. I mean, we talked enough. We'd gotten to know each other enough that he knew I wasn't, that I was still really more Republican than Libertarian. He had to be sitting in that front seat laughing. Had to be.
And what's so funny is Michael is, I've interacted with him a bit. He is just the nicest, mellowest guy.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, I mean, when he's speaking about 10th Amendment stuff, very focused, you know, but he is fun-loving guy, and you know he drops the Scott bomb on you. I mean, were you thinking at some point, okay, I'm pretty sure I can take this guy if I have to.
I don't know. I mean, I was just, you know, so here, the funny thing is when I got involved with the 10th Amendment Center, you know, there's always that little nervous party when you're getting involved with the organization. I don't want to get involved with a bunch of nuts, right?
Oh, it's like going to a new church.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
You're like, okay, everything seems pretty normal here. Okay,
right,
cool.
Right. Yeah. So I had done that process with the 10th Amendment Center. I'd read a lot of the content. You know, I'd gotten to know Bolden. I'm like, yeah, these people are cool. It's limited government, constitution. You know, I'm down with this. Scott Horton made me rethink the whole thing. But
that would be the church equivalent to an army of tambourines.
Right. Exactly. Well, or, you know, some
bring out the snakes. The snakes are coming at you. No, it'll bite you. You just got to believe. It'll be okay, Mike.
I am from Kentucky.
Oh, there.
So that is a thing. Okay. All right, we got to do the lightning round. This is supposed
to be fast,
okay. This was great. Okay, so, all right, number one. What is your favorite book of the Bible and why?
First John. First John, because there was a study in there I read from John MacArthur, who is sharing a study from Jonathan. I can never remember if it's Edward or Edwards, about how to know you are saved. And it's I really can't do it justice in the time we have, but it's fantastic. It was a real eye opener for me, and particularly on the subject of, like, you know, internal security, things like that. Just a wonderful.
Awesome.
That study and, of course, the book.
Okay. If you could eliminate just one governmental department, could be state, local, or federal, what would it be?
Man.
It's so hard to narrow it down to one.
The first one, I was like on it. I was really feeling good about myself on that first one.
Yeah. They get easier, by the way. The hard ones are at the top.
Well, the IRS just hired 80,000 people.
Yeah.
And so, yeah. But because of that, I just want to say, if they're listening, you guys are great.
Yeah, we love you.
Yes. So there's my answer. There you go.
I love it.
Yes. Yes.
All right.
Now, Harry, I don't know how he feels, but me. Okay.
Everybody knows how I feel.
Yeah.
Murray Rothbard has said that everybody is allowed one exception to their principles. So what is your most unlibertarian view?
I don't know if it's my most unlibertarian view, but it's something I'm seeking to learn more about, and that is intellectual property.
Yeah, that's a hard one.
As a performer, my bread and butter is IP.
Yeah.
And that sounds odd. That stands for intellectual property. Yes, my bread and butter is IP. What? That's going to be somewhere. Yeah, that's tough for me to get a handle on. I'm at the point where I can see some of the arguments for the state not being involved in it. But from a simple, some of the arguments I hear made that go beyond that of the morality of it, well, what's it matter? I go, well, hey, me over here, I can tell you what it matters. You know, it may not matter in your line of work, but it matters a whole lot to mine.
Right, right. That's a good one. Mine is, I really don't have a problem with arresting people for driving slow in the left-hand lane.
Well, yeah.
Jail those bastards. All right. Cake or pie?
Pie.
Pickup truck or sports car?
Pickup truck.
Mountains or beach?
Oh, wait. I got a sports car story for you.
Oh, okay.
Know this? I March 5th, 2019, I fool Penn and Teller. I can't tell anybody until the episode airs.
Right.
A month later, I'm in Arizona for a week of gigs out there for a client. Uh-huh. I get there. It's Southern Arizona. It's wicked sunny and hot there. I had another car rented, but they say to me, we already accidentally let your car go. Would you like a convertible? Well, as a father of seven who at that point was driving a van, I'm like, oh, yes, I would.
Please and thank you.
Yes, yes, yes. So I get into the convertible, and I had about a 2-hour drive to my hotel. Of course, the top's down. I got Tequila by the Champs blasting on the radio. I still have all this compressed happiness because I can't tell people about the Penn and Teller thing.
Right.
I am like such a great mood. But then it hits me later in the day or the next day. Man, my head hurts. Okay. Now we're on Zoom now recording this, but from the front, my hair is fairly thick, but it's started to thin on top, you know, what comes with age and all that. I had this wicked sunburn on my head, and I called my wife. I go, honey, what was that stuff you had for the kids in their diaper rash? There's this stuff. See, if you ever get a sunburn, this is the best thing. I'd say this is called monkey butt paste.
That's awesome. I get sunburned a lot.
Yeah, I know. Well, yeah, I hear. So that's what I'm, that's what I, so, you know, pride, go with before destruction, whatever. So I was a bit too pleased with myself. And that's my convertible story. Next question.
That's a good story. Mountains or beach?
Oh, beach.
Yeah.
Absolutely. You don't have to climb the beach.
Right?
I don't want to climb and schlep stuff.
No. Okay. So this one has three options: cats, dogs, or no freaking animals in the house.
Oh, dogs.
Dogs. I'm a cat.
Yeah.
Cat.
We have an outdoor cat, mouse, and we have three dogs. Just, I never had dogs growing up. So I think I'm having some kind of reverse cats in the cradle experience, you know, where I'm like,
that would be dogs in the cradle.
Yes.
Yes.
Love dogs.
Would you rather be too hot or too cold?
Well, hearkening back to the episode, what's the libertarian viewpoint on that?
There isn't one.
Let me Google Rothbard on too hot. I did. Well, on the geeking out on libertarian stuff in a dumb way, I posted stuff on Facebook about like meatloaf.
Right.
Like this particular meatloaf recipe. And Tom Woods, friends on Facebook, comments, the word loaf should never follow the word meat. So Tom is wonderfully opinionated about like the stuff that people should have opinions about, you know, stuff like that.
Oh, yeah.
So I replied with a page from the Ron Paul's wife's cookbook, which had a meatloaf recipe in it.
I think I saw that.
Okay. And he responded with the Murray Rothbard quote. What is it? Everyone's entitled. One aberration or
aberration,
whatever
right.
Aberration it is. But you know, I don't know. I'm a big guy. I don't like the hot, but I don't like cold either. So
yeah, the correct answer is too cold, by the way.
Okay, thank you. Sorry, I'm in Georgia now. Too cold. Okay,
there you go.
Sorry. Yeah, I'm from Pittsburgh, now moving in Georgia. I'm of 2 months.
Favorite musician or band? Musical act.
You know, I'm embarrassed to say I have to take the fifth. I am the least music person you know.
Really? That surprises me. I would have thought you a music guy.
But then again, you're wearing a Steelers hat.
So,
Wow, man. You know, one thing down in Georgia, you can't where the town I grew up in Pennsylvania, outside of Pittsburgh, McKeesport, they actually had this, they have this festival every August called the International Village, which is like 20 plus food booths from all different countries around the world. It's a really cool thing, which is really representative of the ethnic diversity we have there, especially food wise.
Yeah.
Where I live in kind of semi-rural Georgia, I'd kill for a pierogi. You know what a pierogi is? You get to Kentucky?
No, we ain't got that.
You know, but you know what they are?
I have an idea. Isn't it some kind of sandwich or something?
You have an idea?
Yeah.
It's like, oh, no, never mind.
No, I want to know.
No, it's like a, not a pastry thing, but like a kind of like pasta dough. And inside is typically stuffed with potatoes, cheese, sometimes sauerkraut. It's a Hungarian, that part of Europe kind of dish.
I'm Polish. Sold.
It's great. So you don't have that down here.
I bet we have it here. There's everything in the Tampa Bay area.
Well, yeah, it's a bigger city, and I'm sure if I went up to Atlanta, I could find that.
Yeah.
This is right. The people listening to the bonus episode think we're really getting our money's worth here.
That's right. This is the slowest lightning round ever. Last one.
Wow. Getting other guests on this show after that.
Let's be honest. You are the first person that I've ever done a lightning round with. So obviously it's got to be the slowest.
Oh, okay.
It's also the fastest.
It's okay. I'm the guinea pig here.
Yes, you are. So actually I just thought of this the other day because somebody else that I know that I was a guest on their podcast, they do this for their supporting listeners. And I'm like, I got to figure out something to do with my supporting listeners. And this is a great idea. So, last one, best book you've read, not the Bible.
This is particularly a rough question because you could see the stack of books behind me. It's somewhat I would love to know when that was decided, that for Zoom things, you have books behind you. Look right. At my implied smartness.
Right.
Oh, best book besides the Bible. You know, I'll tell you, this is not best, but this would probably be the most influential.
Okay, that's fair.
So the magic book I read when I was a kid, because that changed my life.
Yeah. And I kind of thought that as I was asking the question, that should be the answer. So,
wasn't just the tricks. It was how he wrote about it and the romance he built up in it. Yeah. Obviously it's not the best, but most influential.
So here's the thing about books, and we'll wrap up with this. Just something I thought of. Like, obviously, I've got a lot of books as well, and I've not read all of the books that are behind me because I'm one of these people that's like, I've got to have that book, so I buy it, and then it gets put on the shelf until some point. But I heard this, and I think this is true. It is good to have lots of books around you that you have not read because it is a reminder of how much you still have to learn.
Truth, yeah.
Well, a little humility, right? Because, you know, I can think that I'm smart, but look, there's a lot of smartness back here that I haven't gotten to yet.
Yeah, when there are people that I'm thinking of looking, look at several books on my shelf, many of them, who are so better in their specific pursuits. You know, they are not personally here to remind me of that. Right. So having their books here is a way to remind me of that, which isn't, you know, would be so, it's not as embarrassing for me or potentially as embarrassing as, oh God, how awesome you are. And,
right.
You know, through the kindness of their books, I could maybe attain some of that, learn from that.
There you go. Well, thank you so much for playing the lightning round.
Thank you. This is, I always, as a child in science class in school, I always thought lightning moved so much faster. Perhaps, could we call this the mudslide round?
That's what we're going to call it. That is what it's going to be for now and forever, the mudslide round. I'll have to
sometimes much it. Fast, sometimes it's slow, you know.
Yeah. Sometimes it picks up momentum, sometimes it just stops.
There. Yes.
And with that, we're going to just stop.
Thank you, brother.
All right, I'm going to turn off recording.